Well, welcome. Welcome. The very important people in this church are here today, and the very other very important people we'll pray for, that it's great for them as well. We're grateful for what the officers have done to prepare us for this Advent time as well, and with their terrific touch, you know, with all the lights and the season. Well, now it's the 1st of December, it's the season to be able to think about it. I got up last evening even and switched on the lights, and when Gillian and I were up the street yesterday over here, there was the city band, Canberra City Band, came up, and Santa's Helpers and everyone was there, and wow, their music was fantastic. Has anyone heard the city band on their rounds? They came right past us, and so it's well and truly here. But we welcome you here today, and a lot of today's preparation has been done from headquarters, who've given us some tremendous resource material. And so welcome to this time of worship, where two or three are gathered, or however many there are. God is here with us, and I invite Gillian to come up and lead us off. Thank you.
Well, as you know, it's Advent season, and this is the first Sunday of Advent. And I just thought I'd tell you, you know probably what Advent is, but Advent is a word that itself holds the promise of something extraordinary yet to come. The arrival of a notable person or thing. In Christian communities around the world, Advent refers to four-week seasons. So you know that there's 4 weeks in Advent. I think that's better. Right. Advent refers to four-week season of remembering and celebrating the arrival of Jesus on earth around 2,000 years ago. It is observed 4 Sundays before Christmas Day. This Sunday, we start Advent in this time of spiritual reflection and preparation of hope, peace, love and joy. It's a time marked by the lighting of candles, one each week, the joy and vibrant chords of carols and the cherished traditions. Can I just have a prayer with you? Can we pray? God of hope, we look to you with an open heart and a yearning spirit. During this Advent season, help us to keep alert and awake, listening to your word and keeping your commands and guidance. Come and restore your people that we might shine once more in the glory of your presence. Amen. Now I'm just going to read Psalm 100. It's not on the screen, but I'll just read it from the NIV. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise the Lord.
So Gillian has already spoken about Advent, and you'll hear the word Advent quite a few times this morning. So what is the focus of the first week of Advent? It is hope. Hope is the central aspect of it. A season which is apparent through the next 4 weeks, as Gillian has said. It's a foundation for our belief that Jesus is coming into our hearts and into the world. The first week prepares us to be people of hope and believe that darkness will not prevail. We couldn't get the lights going this morning. It might be fortuitous, because I think the person who works is halfway between New Zealand and Australia. But anyway, that's all right, because it's only one candle that we're supposed to see the light of, which is driving out the darkness. By the time the fourth week's on, I reckon more lights will come on. Okay. The first week prepares us to be people of hope and believe that darkness will not prevail. And there's plenty of darkness in the world today, isn't there? But the light of the world will overcome it. The four candles of the Advent wreath specifically symbolise the Christian concepts of hope, peace, joy, and love, with these candles being lit subsequently throughout each week leading up to Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And can we have Lynn to come to light the first candle? And so I looked up various Advent prayers, and I heard some Catholic ones and Anglican ones, and there's some beautiful stuff there. If you want to learn more about Advent, just Google Advent, like we do these days. And this prayer came up, and it says, "Father God, every word in Scripture points to the gift of hope that we have because of Christ Jesus. The Christmas story wasn't the beginning of that message of hope, because the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and restore them into a relationship with you. But we're able to truly begin to see and understand just how great your love for us is when we read the story of Jesus' birth in Scripture. Help us to see that you are with us. Nothing is too difficult, too messy, or too dirty for you. Jesus came to give us the gift of eternal life through the salvation that only you, our Heavenly Father, can give when we believe on your Son, repent of our sins, and confess Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That first Christmas, you gave us the gift of hope, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen." Amen.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink." Must have been going to be a salvo. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When this time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
So the message today is entitled, Heaven Meets Earth. And this was prepared through our headquarters department, and I looked at it and it fitted me very nicely and saved me a lot of work, quite frankly, but it was really well done. And the overarching point is God speaks to us. The key takeaway is our story serves a far greater purpose within God's big story. Yeah. Have you ever been given the silent treatment, which I sort of partly adhered to earlier? Have you ever had the silent treatment? We all have different aspects to our anger. And when I do the PLP course, it shows 30 different types of anger. And I thought, I can get away with this. I'm a fairly calm person. And I read through and I got caught in one of the segments of the three together, because I'm likely to simmer and then get my critical voice out as a sort of a commando tactic to drag that person down. And I guess that's happened with you. If you've got in a family or friends or non-friends, you've had the silent treatment, or it's been tested on you. Something's happened. There's tension. It's unresolved, but nothing is said. Phone calls ring out. They don't answer. Text messages are ignored. And if you end up in the same room together, it can be incredibly difficult. How can you remain in relationship with someone who doesn't speak to you? There's no formula or prescription when God speaks to us. He won't just use one method. There's many ways God can speak to us. He doesn't just use his word. He doesn't just use music. He doesn't just use nature, which is all around us, staring us in the eye. Or he might use a preacher, or testimonies of other people. All things are at his disposal. God can speak in lots of different ways. And so I'd like to hear from you this morning, one or two, or for a minute or so. How does God speak to you? Think about that. How does God speak to you? It's not a parochial question. You can actually say something. In what ways have you heard him speak to you? Is anyone wanting to say something to that? If there's something outstanding or something that's changed your life, how has he spoken to you? Yeah, it can happen within our mind, can't I? Like that when we're praying or when we're thinking about something, or our conscience suddenly gets hit. Are there any others who want to just say a word about a change in their life that's happened because of, you know, a feeling that was from God? Yeah. And we recognise that, don't we, Duncan? Where, you know, you say, oh, well, I'll pray about that, and a door opens and then someone will drop out and you go through, or, you know, something happens about circumstances of life so that God can direct you in one way or the other. Is there anyone else who wants just a quick word? Yeah. But something to think about. Mm-hmm. I don't think God gives us a silent treatment too often. Sometimes he takes a long time to answer, but that's his way. It's not time yet. So thank you for your responses to that. God speaks to us even when it feels as though perhaps God is silent. And the person who wrote this says, I encourage you, God speaks to us. Are we listening, and have we heard? But what if you're not so sure about this? What if you feel as though God is silent? What if you tried to hear the voice of God but didn't hear anything? How can you remain in relationship with someone who doesn't speak to you? Have you got angry with God? God, where are you? I need you now. That can be hard. It can happen in seasons sometimes when we're going through a dark patch. And it almost seems that way, doesn't it, when we're saying, Lord, be with those in the Ukraine, be with those in the Middle East or Myanmar or in the South China Sea or whatever it is. Lord, when is this going to stop? When is this going to end? If that's been your experience, we'll talk further about how God speaks to us. We've just heard in Luke 1 about a man who was desperate for God to answer his prayers. Zechariah and Elizabeth desperately wanted to have a baby. They'd waited years, decades even. And we don't know that struggle, but we've talked to people who've had to go for in vitro fertilisation processes or whatever. And the more they've wanted a baby, the less it's happened for them. And it's terribly hard on them when this happens. No doubt this husband and wife had cried out to God for years, asking for a baby and thinking it's too late even now. And as year after year went by, this couple remained childless. It would have been easy to think that their prayers fell on deaf ears and that God was silent. Maybe you've been there praying and waiting. God seemed to be silent until one fateful day when it was Zechariah's turn to serve in the temple. Zechariah was alone, fulfilling his priestly duty, burning incense on the altar in front of the most holy place. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. That would be a shock. An angel simply appeared, no warning, no footsteps, no twitch of the curtain. And let's keep in mind that angels were considered to be direct representatives of God. And so the customary belief was that nobody could see God and live. No wonder Zechariah felt scared. The angel breaks the silence with a message from God saying, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." After years of silence and waiting, the angel breaks the silence with a message from God. The writer of this said, "I want to encourage you, despite how it might sometimes feel, God does speak to us. God didn't just speak to those in days gone by, but God is still speaking and moving in our day." Look how Christianity has survived these 2,000 years, like since Christ. Look how it survived and how it's grown and still a powerful force in the world. Second point is God speaks to us by all possible means. We are a bit stubborn sometimes, so we need a bit of encouragement. I was surprised myself, and I've mentioned this before, I apologise for those who may have heard it, that a leader in the Salvation Army, divisional commander, came with his caravan to our farm to have a little holiday with us, and he came out to me, and I was spraying crop and all that sort of thing, and he came with me and we talked. And and on Thursday night of this week, is that the 27th? That was 48 years before that we were sworn in as envoys in the Salvation Army, and as a result of this person, a quiet man, but a lovely, godly man, sat on the lounge with me in a cottage on the farm, and looked across to me and said, "Bill, I want to ask you something. Will you accept responsibility for leadership, a leadership position, honorary leadership position, and will you do that?" And that was, I celebrate that because some weeks later, then we went to Orange for a Thanksgiving rally with 100 or so people, and we were sworn in to be envoys in the Salvation Army, and that's 48 years and 4 days ago. And so I look back at that and I go, that was a significant event. they said, you know, it might be a preacher, or, you know, he was a divisional commander at the time. And so, especially I think if God has got a very specific work, perhaps in leadership, the voice is very loud. Well, he had a soft voice, but it was very convincing. And if I was going to listen to anyone, it was going to be him. Because I just had, 5 days or something with him, and we're talking about our goals and our ambitions. And so I have that strong testimony myself of a powerful way in which God brought a message to me. And it's been hard in many ways following that path, but it helped me to sell a farm and go full-time in ministry for 14 years and then still be doing an odd job here too. God could have used any means to communicate this message to Zechariah, but he chose to send a representative of himself. God sent an angel, and so we remind ourselves that God will communicate to us by all possible means, including a divine messenger. So as we have been preparing for this Advent series, I've been struck by how many times angels appear in the Nativity scriptures. An angel appeared to Zechariah, an angel appears to Mary, a messenger of God appears to Joseph in a dream, and a choir of angels appears to the shepherds. That was quite a strong message all around about the whole part of God coming upon man and giving a message. We can begin to think, with all these divine encounters and spiritual experience, it's a wonder the Christmas story isn't more popular. We become a bit used to us in the Christian community. But in these days, kids coming up through school sometimes, and they're not really getting much grounding in how it all happened, how the invisible God became visible in Christ as a babe, and as a person who died for our sins. Because we live in a world that is hungry for spirituality. We do, don't we? We live in a world, if you don't follow after God, that spirit, church attendance might have dropped, interest in organised religions might have waned, but our society is seeking a deep spirituality. This was magnified in the height of the global pandemic, when we suddenly became aware that lots of things were beyond our control and life became a lot more certain. We were locked in home, we were isolated, and all those things. People turned to prayer, but they also turned to mediums, clairvoyance, crystals, and anything that could possibly connect with and influence the unseen world, even the dark side. For me, I have no doubt that we live in a spiritual world. That's why I take spiritual things seriously. But for some who are listening, it's possible I've already lost you at this point. Some might be thinking, hey, I believe in God, but I'm not convinced about angels and demons and spirits and stuff. Well, I'm not here to convince you, but I will say that for me, I believe in a spiritual world, and that as part of that spiritual world, there is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. And we can't doubt that, can we? Like the corporate darkness in the world with the development of nuclear weapons and intercontinental ballistic missiles and landmines that blow people's legs off. I see people walk past up the street and a guy who looks Vietnamese and I think he might have a false leg and he comes past and he sort of, and I think, oh, were you in the Vietnam conflict? You know, what happened to you that your leg was blown off, which I believe it probably was. So powers of light and of darkness were all impacted by this dark side. Even within our own selves, in the worst of our habits, our critical tongue or our anger towards others or declaring a black sheep among members of our family. And in very broad terms, God reigns in the kingdom of light, and satanic forces reigns in the kingdom of darkness. We have the dark web, don't we? Yeah, and all sorts of rubbish comes through that. And as part of those opposing kingdoms or powers, there are spirits that align with each. Spirits of light, commonly known as angels, and spirits of darkness, sometimes known as demon, evil spirits, or unclean spirits. Now let me add, these two kingdoms are not equal powers. The kingdom of light is superior. That's why we increase the light over Advent. We light some more candles. And I think Matthew will have the place lit up pretty well by Christmas time. Yeah. The kingdom of light is victorious. God's kingdom reigns. But we learn a bit about the nature of angels in this passage. Here is what we discover in Luke 1 about this angelic messenger that was sent to Zechariah. Angels stand in the presence of God. Angels have an identity, they have a name. We learn that this angel is Gabriel. Gabriel can have two meanings: God is my hero, or mighty man of God. Angels can be seen, they're more than a vibe or a vapor. It's like they have an intimidating experience. But they can appear in particular to particular people and can be visible. And I think, you know, if you're declaring a message from heaven to earth, something dramatic is bound to happen. The angel Gabriel had the capacity to communicate well, to relate, to recognize fear, and to respond with reassurance. This wasn't some pre-programmed hologram where you push play and stop. Angels are sent with a purpose and are entrusted with a message. This was no party trick. God will communicate to us by all means possible, including a divine messenger, or those things we mentioned earlier on, a reading from Scripture, another very thoughtful Christian person who's been selected to do that for you. He might speak to us through angels, dreams, or music. He might use poetry. And I think of someone who's here beside me today because of a little poem that was written when she was 12 years old to someone else. Scripture in nature. He might speak to us through a sermon or even a book. Let's not limit how he can speak to us. Let's be open. He might speak in a way that surprises us. So God speaks by all possible means. But God speaks to us personally about our life story as well. He's our personal God. He can communicate with us in our mind without other people even knowing about it. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah because God wanted to share something of great importance with him and something personal. And that's often how God speaks to us personally. Not for the whole world to hear, not a message for the person next to you, but something that God wants to say to you. Something about your circumstances or your situation. A word for you. God speaks to us personally. God cares about the details of our lives. Did you notice that there was a crowd of worshippers praying outside when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah? God spoke to Zechariah personally, even though a crowd had assembled that day. The crowd didn't see the angel, they didn't hear the angel's voice. This was a personal encounter between God and Zechariah. After years of hoping and praying, God's messenger appears to an aging man who always wanted to be a father and says, "Do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard." And that's deeply personal. The angel prophesies about the kind of man Zechariah's son will be and God's purpose for John's life: to bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Gabriel was prophesying about John, who would prepare the way for Jesus, a messenger of God prophesying the birth of another messenger of God, where God meets us. What incredible insight to receive about the future of your unborn son. This was more than a revelation of unanswered prayer. Yes, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a baby, but God needed them to know that their story served a greater purpose within God's big story. John would live to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. Once Zechariah's priestly service was completed, which was only 1 week, he returned home to Elizabeth, overjoyed but speechless, because he challenged the angel Gabriel. He lost his voice because he challenged what God had said. And of course, it was another sign that something had happened to him inside there. And also about, you know, I think sons were named after their father in those days. And to be directed to call him John was something different. Elizabeth soon became pregnant. Eventually a baby was born, and both his mother and father insisted that he be named John. The Lord's hand was with John as he grew, and he became well known for his message of baptism for the repentance of sins. So much so that he was commonly referred to as John the Baptist. When Jesus was about 30 years old and was about to commence his public ministry, even he was baptized by John the Baptist. But when he was born, he was just John. And because he was born, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, as the scripture we read in the scriptures earlier. And before he was conceived, his parents were desperately, earnestly praying for him. An angel prophesied about his life, that this baby would be given the name John, and his purpose in life would be to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. John's story had a far greater purpose within God's bigger story. He too would serve as a messenger of God, but God had come at his appointed time. Zechariah and Elizabeth's story was shaped by disappointment and years of painful longing, but their story served a purpose within God's grand story. They had the privilege of raising a son who was filled with the Holy Spirit and would be the forerunner to the gospel. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us personally about our life story and how it fits with God's big story. So God speaks to us personally about our life story. And in conclusion, what God has in store for us is far bigger than you could possibly imagine. His story has a far greater purpose within God's big story. So this morning and in the weeks ahead, we'll be listening out for what God is saying to us personally, or maybe a little bit more intent to concentrate on perhaps the still small voice that God speaks to us with. So how is God speaking to you? What is it that he wants you to know? Because he will speak personally and into our circumstances, God is interested in the details of your life and mine. It might feel as though he's silent, but God is always speaking. Remember that God can speak using all possible means. And as he speaks, as you listen, you can be confident of this, that your story has a far greater purpose than you could ever imagine in God's big story. There's a lot to think about in that, in the application of that story of the advent of Christ and the preparation that came for God to prepare people by through repentance, through John the Baptist out there in the sticks, eating locusts and honey, screaming at the top of his voice, "Repent and be baptized." And when Delvin gave a message over at Belconnen on repentance, that's one of the keys, of course, to want to change, to want to move in God's direction, not the direction your will takes you in, but the direction that God takes you in, and repentance is simply, that word means a change of direction. And that's what God wants everyone to do, because we have the light and the dark, and we can follow one or the other. So we have to change directions, not be heading into dark corners, but be heading to the light, and it'll take a lifetime for us to mature. And so we need to keep on with that journey step by step. And so this closing prayer says, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you still speak to us today. We thank you that you speak in all kinds of ways. And we thank you that you speak to us personally about our story. How wonderful that the Creator and Ruler of all would speak to us. We thank you that, like Zechariah, we are part of your bigger story. And so, Lord, we take our place in 2024 through to 2025, or in this moment of history where we have come to be and live. May we be faithful in the times of waiting. May we trust and obey when you speak. May we realise that you do not exist, we do not exist just for ourselves, that we exist to take our place in his story, in history, in your story, God. May we be faithful to the calling upon our lives, and may we give you all the glory as your will unfolds in our lives. And the benediction, go and know the Lord goes with you. Let him lead you each day into the quiet place in your heart where he will speak to you. Know that he blesses and watches over you, that he listens to you in gentle understanding, that he is with you always, wherever you are and however you may feel. May his life and light shine upon you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.